The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
It would be appropriate that in the light of the fact that the parsha this week is the Parshas Hamon, that we spend a little bit of time discussing the opportunities for chizuk in bitochon that are found in this whole inyan of mon. Before I do that, and in case I forget, I'd just like to bring to your attention something that is available through our website that can be called or ordered or emailed. It's called the Bitochen Builder. It's a recent publication which has tefillah for parnosa, tefillah which is certainly a chizuk in bitochen to a person who recites it, 10 thoughts to help strengthen the bitochen, and some very relevant and pertinent thoughts that can be helpful in giving a person greater bitochen, specifically focused on parnosa. And then in the end, at the back, 10 strategies to help you survive a financial crisis based on directives from Chazal. So it's a very, I think, powerful piece to review constantly. It's very nicely presented and internalize the message of bitochen, as we've mentioned many times, that part of the process of developing this trust in Hashem is not just reading about it, it's not even just studying about it, but it's constant review and internalizing, and as the Balei Musa say, taking the information that we achieve here in our brains and internalizing it and putting it into our hearts, where it can be part of the motivational package that keeps us going and gets us to do things accordingly. Okay, in the Parshas Hamon, we all know, you know, what happened. The Klal Yisrael was sustained miraculously for 40 years in the Midbar, in a desert environment which was impossible to be humanly sustained, to survive, and they were unprepared in terms of what they had brought out, and even if they had brought out something, I mean, how long could it last? 40 years. And we are told that millions of people of Klal Yisrael, every member of Klal Yisrael, was provided with all of the food and nourishment that they needed for the day. Day by day, in the morning, the man appeared at their doorstep if they were worthy. If they were a little bit less worthy, then a little bit further away. And maybe if they were really not in good shape, they had to go a lot further out. But it was there for the gathering every single day. Double portion on Friday so that Shabbos man was not collected. And this is the way they lived miraculously for 40 years. The impact and the magnitude of this miracle is really mind-boggling. In fact, Rabbeinu Sadia Goin says that the greatest of all the nisim was the Ness of the Mon, because it was a Ness Tmidi. Ness, the concept, the word Ness, Nun Samach, refers to a banner, that Hashem holds up the banner of His involvement in the world through the nisim. Ness, Hashem is here, look, we see, through these miraculous in Teva, in the laws of nature, sometimes we don't see Hashem, it's more hidden. But the Ness is the outward manifestation, clearly indicated, of Hashem's involvement in the world, and a constant miracle, one that happens every single day, 6 days a week, double portion on Friday for 40 years to an entire nation of millions of eyewitnesses who could not have possibly survived that midbar, that experience without this, because there was no food, there is no food for everyone in a midbar. And historically, this is probably one of the most mind-boggling concepts, and the fact that so many millions of people witnessed this and attested to it, and the document which describes in pages of detail everything that happened with the man, and that this document was taken by these people and given on, passed on as eyewitness testimony to their children, their grandchildren, to this very day, this, of course, makes the magnitude of this miracle very clear and gives us a very strong sense of strengthening of emunah, of belief, of knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his intimate and detailed involvement in sustaining the entire world, in sustaining the entire Klal Yisrael in a midbar under the most miraculous conditions, with the most miraculous form of sustenance coming from heaven rather than bread that comes from the earth, but man coming from heaven every single day, enough for the entire nation. If one took more, if one took less, it made no difference. When he came home, he had just the right amount, living with open, blatant miracles in the entire nation for 40 years. Well, at the end, this is not something to be taken lightly nor to be forgotten. So we find that the Torah tells us, Svayimim Meshe, I have the wrong Vayomer Moshe. Here it is. Vayomer Moshe, zeh hadavar shetzivo Hashem. This is what Hashem has commanded. Meloi ho'emer mimenu l'mishmeres adereseichem. Take this measurement as a safekeeping for future generations. L'man yiru, that they should see the lechem asher he'echalti eschem b'midbor v'hitzi eschem eretz Mitzrayim. Take some of the mon and save it, preserve it, so that future generations should see the bread, this lechem that came from heaven, that I sustained you for 40 years. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, and Moshe tells this to Aaron, kach tzinzenes achas, take a jar, one jar, and put it, meloi ho'imer, a mon, a measurement of mon, and leave it, lifnei Hashem, should be by the oroin, lemishmeres, something to be guarded, l'doyreseichem, and Aaron did it, kasher tziv Hashem el Moshe, v'yanecheu Aaron, lifnei ho'edus mishmores, and Aaron put it in front of the edus, in front of the oroin, it should be a mishmores, and so that future generations should see the bread with which the Klal Yisrael was sustained for 40 years in the Midbar. And Rashi says, Vayomer, Rashi says over here, L'mishmeres, l'doroseichem. He says, Bimei Yirmiyo, this was Mon, this Tzinsenes Hamon was brought out in the times of Yirmiyo Hanovi. Kishahoya Yirmiyohu Moichichom Lomo Ein Atem Oiskim Batoira. Yirmiyo and his generation reprimanded the Klal Yisrael and criticized them for their lack of studying of Torah. They weren't learning as much as they should. Veimoimrim, Naniach Melachteinu Venasik Batoira Mehichon Isparnis. We're going to leave our work and sit and learn. How are we going to have parnosa? Where is the parnosa going to come from? He took out the jar of the mon from the midbar. Atem re'u dvar Hashem. Look, see the word of Hashem. Shimu loinem ar el re'u. It doesn't say listen to the story of the mon. Listen to the testimony of the mon. Listen to the millions of people who lived 40 years miraculously in the midbar, eating mon, having it coming to their doorstep every day and twice, a double portion on Erev Shabbos. And listen to the story, listen to the testimony, read the testimony in the Sefer Torah. It was passed on accurately from generation to generation. The text is a text of eyewitness testimony from the millions of people who lived with this miracle, with these miracles. No, it says, Re'u, look at the mon. Here it is in the tzinzenes, in this jar. This is how your fathers lived in the midbar. For 40 years they lived. Here it is. Here's a piece of the lechem. Here it is, 40 years in the midbar. Look at it. Get the point, get the lesson. There's many agents that Hashem has. Don't worry about your parnosa. Look at the Dor HaMidbar. They lived on this mon. Here is the mon. That's very interesting. It seems the Torah's account is very powerful. The details are overwhelmingly powerful. It's a few pages, actually, of the details of the mon. And it's a miracle of ultimate magnitude. Its consistency, as Rabbeinu Sadiglin says, the magnitude of the miracle, millions of people in the Midbar, in a desert with no natural conditions to sustain them whatsoever, 40 years of miraculous survival through this mon, and it's all delineated in the Torah, and they read about it, and every generation read about it from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu until Yirmiyahu, until this very day. We're going to read it this Shabbos, where people are studying it this week. This is the parsha of the week, and it's been read and reread thousands of years since Maimon Har Sinai. Eyewitness testimony. And it seems that the Torah didn't find that sufficient. Aaron was commanded, Aaron was commanded, Kach tzinsenes achas, take a jar, and put meloi ha'oimer, and leave it lifnei the mishmeres, and as the Pasuk said previously, the mishmeres dorasech leman yiru es ha'lechem. They must see it. It seems that as powerful as this message is, and the eyewitness testimony to it is so clear, yet it needs even more. It's such a difficult thing, because it's so difficult. Parnosa, how are we going to live? We have to eat. We have to make money. We have to have food. What are we going to do? Well, what do you mean? There was mon in the Midbar. To internalize that message properly, we have to see it. When we saw it in the Tzitzenes Amon, it was critical not just to know the eyewitness testimony, but to see a sample of it. I identify with it. I touched it. I saw it. It's an extra measure of reality. It's so important and it's so difficult to internalize this message that it needed to be preserved, not just as eyewitness testimony, but actually we become the, in a sense, not really, because we don't see the whole process, but see, I see a little bit left. That makes a difference, and that can have that impact. But what is the impact, and what is the relevance, and what is Rashi talking about over here? In fact, in the Medrash, when it talks about this same story about putting the mon, the mishmeres of the roseichem, so the lashon of the Medrash is, af atem isku b'Torah, don't worry about this, here you're talking to this generation, study Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mefarnes eschem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sustain you and give you parnosa, give you your sustenance, mizeh, from this, from what? From the Tzinsenes Hamon, from the Tzluchis Shalmon, he calls it. You're going to get mon. What am I going to get mon? The door of Yirmiyahu, they said, we have to work. If we don't work, mon hasn't been coming to our doorstep. If we don't work, we're not going to have it. What are we going to do? How can we sit and learn? How are we going to be misparnis? And we say, no! Here's the Tzinsenes Hamon. They had mon. You want to see? This is what they had in the Midbar. Here's a real jar full of it. You're going to have your parnosa from the mon. From the mon. And I think that's what Rashi means when he says, Bozen is parnosa aveseichem, and then Rashi finishes and says, Harbe shluchim lamokim. He says, there are many agents, yesh lamokim lohochin mozen liyureyov. He has many agents to prepare the food for those who fear him. The lesson, I think, is really very simple. We have to recognize that we have mon today too. Harbe shluchim lamokim. The mon today is delivered hidden within the natural cause of events. It's not the ness that it was in the Midbar. It's not a proclamation of Hashem's intimate and intricate involvement in every detail of our lives in providing us with the food on our doorstep. But it's really one and the same. It's really harbe shluchim lamokum. My boss is a shliach to bring me mon. My job is a shliach to bring me mun. My business is a shliach to bring me the mun. My investments, hopefully in better times, are shluchim to bring me the mun. But I have to view it all as mun min hashamayim. The same mon, because otherwise, what's Yirmiyah telling them? He says, ooh, this is the mon that they had in the Midbar. Klal Yisrael should have responded to Yirmiyah, give us mon and we'll sit and learn. What do you want from us? But we don't have mon. And Yirmiyah's answer was, this is the mon that they had in the Midbar, and harbe shluchim lamokim, to provide parnoso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many shluchim to provide the same provision of mon to us, just hidden under the natural cause of events, rather than proclaimed as a ness clearly. Now, if we see it that way, then our whole life takes on a different proportion. That we realize that parnosa is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything, it's up to Him. He gives it. As the Medrash says, it brings in Yalkut Shemini, brings it. Yedoyla parnosa, Yosemi Geula. Parnosa is even greater than redemption. Because Parnoso Susta, because Geula, it says Hamalach HaGoyel. Sometimes Geula is done through an agent. Hamalach, Kodesh Baruch uses agents. By Parnoso it says Poiseach es Yodecho, you open your hand yourself, and you masbia and satiate Lechol Chai Rotzo, in every living creature according to its will. So the Pshat is HaKodesh Baruch does it Himself. When it comes to Parnosa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's doing it. Why is it called Hallel HaGodol? We say on Shabbos, Hoidu Lashem Kitov, Hoidu Eloheihu Elohim, Elohim, Hoidu Ladaneihu Adonim, Elohisin Eflois Gedoyos Lavado. He created creation in Yetzias Mitzrayim, in Kriyas Yamsuf, and everything. And we thank Hashem, Ki Leolam Chastoi. But why is it called Hallel HaGodol, the great Hallel? So the Gemara in Pesachim says, because of this posuk, Noisein Lechem Lechol Boso. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives sustenance to every flesh, to all flesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Zonu Mefarnes. That's what makes the difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zon Umefarnes, each and every individual. He's Peseches Yodecho. You open your hand. He's Noisein Lechem Lechol Boso, and that's why it's Hallel HaGodol, greater than creation. It talks about creation, but that's not why it's Hallel HaGodol. It talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but that's not why it's Hallel HaGodol. It talks about Kriyas Yamsuf and the Midbar, but that's not why it's Hallel HaGodol, because he's Noisein Lechem Lechol Boso. And that lechem we see from Chazal is really mon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides mon. But in the Midbar, He did it blatantly as a nes, showing the niflois of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the world today, He does it in a more hidden fashion, hidden within the teva. But it's the same mon as the Loshon of Chazal is, Af atem isku b'atoyra b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from finally says, Mizeh, from this tzluchish shel mon, from the tzinsenes hamon, because this is really what our sustenance is all about. And I think that realization can be so powerful, and especially in times when so many people are so distraught. I understand that even in some of the most affluent communities, the roles of the Tumchei Shabbos organizations and those that are providing for the needs of people in distress are increasing astronomically. And times are very difficult. Well, the lesson in these times has to be Poiseches Yodecho. You, Hashem, open your hand, you do it yourself. Not al yedei malach, and not al yedei shliach, harbe shluchim lamokim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. It's a little bit of a contradiction, maybe Rashi says, harbe shluchim lamokim, but the shluchim are just the pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends it through them, but He orchestrates everything. He's Peseches Yodecho. He assures that it takes care. He's metapol everything Himself. He covers it in today's world, because we're not privileged with the kind of miracles that they were in the Dor HaMidbar. But it's the same mon, and that's the same concept. The Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the broch of Hazones Hakoil in order to thank Hashem for the mon. We say today the Hazones Hakoil, to thank Hashem for our mon, for our sustenance, for our parnoso that we have, and it's all the same system. It works the same way. That's really and truly what it's all about. We make a brocha, Hamitzi Lechem min Haoretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meitzi Lechem in the hearts. We thank Hashem, we praise Hashem, He's the source of all brocha, He's the Melech Ha'olam, and what does He do? He takes forth the bread from the ground. Bread doesn't grow in the ground, wheat does. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take the bread from the ground and put it on our table. The farmer plants, and then the farmer harvests, and then the tiller tills, and the miller mills, and the kneader kneads, and the baker bakes, and the lady in the bakery sells it to us. But it's Hamitzi Lechem, it's really all Hashem. He's Peseach Es Yotech, He does it all Himself. He's Noisein Lechem L'chol Bosor. It's all man that's couched in natural terms. We make the Brocha, which reminds us that you are the Moitzi Lechem in the Haaretz. It's really all about Hashem. And when we realize this, it takes on a whole new sense of confidence, of trust, a lack of worrying, a lack of concern, because we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just with us, but He's orchestrating this whole survival and the whole sustenance and the whole providing of our needs. And that's why, as I mentioned before, these tefillos, a tefillah for parnosa, is so important that we ask Hashem, Atohu Hashem Elokim, you are Hashem, Hazonu mefarnis umechalkel mikarni reimad beit zekinim. You sustain and you give a parnosa and you give life from the highest forms of creatures to the lowest. Hatrifeni lechem chuki. Sustain me with my needs, my parnosa, and give to me and my entire family our mezonos even before we need them. It should be benachas and not betzar. It should be permissible and not in a forbidden way. It should be bekovid and not bebizoyin. It shouldn't be an embarrassment. And it should be for health and for peace. And it should come from a source of brocha and hatzlocha. And it should allow me, kedei she'ucha lasis retzoynecho v'lasik b'seirosecho v'lekayim mitzvaysecho, that I should be able to do your will and to study your Torah and to fulfill your mitzvahs, as we said, because that's what the Novi told him. He says that you be oisik b'toyro u'mitzvahs, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mefarnes you. This is a tefillah for the modern day mon. And at the end we say, don't let us come to matonas from Bosav Adom. We shouldn't have to take charity from anyone. And the posuk, two psukim, should apply to us. One, Peseach Es Yodecho, that Hashem opens His hand and sustains the will, every creature, gives Him satisfaction according to His will. And the other one, such a beautiful posuk too, Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcho, throw your package, throw your problem. Yehovcho is like a burden, a maso echo, the Mefarshim say, it's your pekel. For who yechal kalecha, and He'll sustain you. That concept of turning to Hashem, of putting our trust in Hashem, He takes care of everything. This is really the lesson of the Mon, and this is really how the modern-day crisis that we face today, the financial difficulties that so many people face, and even those who don't face it directly or indirectly affected, and everybody is concerned and worried. And all of this has to be addressed with this realization that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Zon HaMefarnes, and He takes care of everyone's parnosa individually. And it's just as the mon came to my doorstep. And if I wasn't as worthy, I had to go out a little bit. And if I was even very unworthy, I had to go out further. And today's parnosa is mon. And everything is according to the individual, according to his worth. And you make sure that we have just what we need, that we always have enough. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is metapel with this himself, b'chvoidoi v'atzmoi, and harbe shluchim lamokim. He does it through natural means, because we're not privileged with such miracles today, but it's really all one and the same. And just a little story, which I'm reminded of, something that was actually personal, happened. I participated in this many years ago, and something which I think underscores the maybe graphically the nature of this concept and the individuality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement with our sustenance. The days of Los Angeles, when we had the yeshiva there. And I remember it was the day before a payroll was due for the Rebbeim. And one of the Rebbeim, I remember he asked me, he says, "Nu, you think you're going to have money for the Rebbeim's payroll tomorrow?" And I don't know why I was in this mood. It was a real bentura, maybe. I meant it sincerely, I think. I said, I don't understand the question. You're asking me if I'm going to have money for the Rebbeim's payroll. Hashem is the Zonah Mefarnes. The Rebbein Shalom takes care of everybody's payroll and everybody's parnosa. His Pesach is Yodecho. So if you're supposed to get your parnosa, the Rebbeim is supposed to get it, each individual is supposed to get it. He'll get it whether I have money or not. And if you're not supposed to get, for some reason, your parnosa, he's Zonah Mefarnes, it makes no difference whether I have money or not. So what are you asking me if I have money for the Rebbeim's payroll? It's the wrong question. All right, maybe that was a little bit overdone. I shouldn't have... Anyway, the next day came. I didn't have no money for the Rebbeim's payroll. $8,500, didn't have a penny. However, after 6 months of pleading with a lawyer for an estate that we had inherited, the yeshiva had inherited an estate, to bring in all the mail that came to the executor. The lawyer was the executor, the mail was coming to his office, and the fellow told me, he says, no, there's nothing important there, it's only junk mail, I check it all the time, I know. Finally, that morning, of all days, after 6 months of pleading, the wife of the lawyer walks into our office with a box full of mail. Ostensibly, most of it was junk mail. I looked quickly, and I noticed an envelope that looked a little bit strange, smelled a little strange. I opened it up. There was a check for $1,000 there, 6 months old. We had shipped some of this schera, some of the goods that we had inherited as part of the estate, to a company, and they sent us back to the lawyer's address. That was the formal address. They sent us back a payment for $1,000. Fine. I didn't see anything else. I had to go to my shir, but I asked the bookkeeper to please look through it and just see if you see maybe there's another check over there. Sure enough, when I come back, I find there was another check there, also from 6 months ago, for $7,500. Well, $1,000, $7,500, $8,500, exactly what we needed for the Rebbeim's payroll. Beautiful, put the money in the bank and gave out the payroll. Everything was fine. Next day, I walk into the office and I tell the bookkeeper, I say, you know, these checks were 6 months old and maybe I don't want there to be any problems. Call the companies that we had sent this material that we had inherited to, and they paid us the payments, which we didn't know they paid us, but they came to the lawyer's office. Call them and just tell them we deposited these 6 months old checks. She calls them up and she says, they both said the same thing. They said like this, we shipped them this material, whatever it was. They both sent us payment to the lawyer's address, to that address, which was the formal address. We called them up a month later or 2 months later and said we never got payment. We didn't know because it went to the lawyer's address. They canceled those checks because they were no good. They thought they got lost in the mail. They sent us other checks. Those checks are no good. We got our payment. No good. Nothing. Okay. That Friday night when I was saying, benching, Hazones, Oilim, Unoisein, Lechem, Lechol, Boso, I thought, I says, look what happened. The reality is, we thought we had money. We thought those two checks were good. We put them in the bank. The bank gave us instant credit. That's what we had. And the Rebbeim got their payroll. But we didn't have money. That's exactly what I told them. If you're supposed to get your payroll, you'll get it whether we have money or not. And if you're not, it makes a difference whether you have money. We didn't have money. We thought we did. You got your payroll finished. We didn't have. This is really the way it works. What happened was, interestingly, I don't know if it's relevant, but the $1,000 check came back a week later, and we had to make good on it, which we were able to. And the other one, for some strange reason, went back and forth between a bank in Los Angeles and a bank in Seattle for 2 months until mid-January, when finally the bank called us and said the check was not good. And by then, we were able to make good on the check. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Zonah Mefarnes. And it makes no difference whether I have or not. If you're supposed to get, if someone's supposed to get, he'll get it no matter what someone else has. And if he doesn't, it makes no difference whether you have money for the payroll or not. It's all a personal, almost contractual relationship between me and my maker. And when I look at it that way, that's the way the mon was, exactly, because the mon didn't come down for everyone in a general place and there was a free-for-all to run and get it. It came to the doorstep. It came for each individual. Each individual got the amount that he needed. If he took more, it was reduced. If he took less, it was increased. It was all divinely, directly proportioned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And if we realize that our parnosa today is really all about mon, that's what it is, then it's a whole different story. And it gives us the strength to realize that just as the miracles of the Mon and the Midbar, it was individualized gift directly from the Bnei Olam, so too is our Parnos. So we have to look at it as such. We have to turn to Him in tefillah to ask Him to give it to us. We have to develop a sense of bitochon, of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He will in fact take care of our Parnos. And the Parsha of the Mon can certainly help us as a historical event, and especially when they held that Tzinsenes Hamon in the Beis HaMikdash, and Yirmiyahu HaNovi says, this is it, this is the Mon that your fathers lived in the Midbar. And when we say to Yirmiyahu, so we say, you know, give us Mon, and we'll also learn all the time. What do you want? What are you showing us the Mon? They were able to learn because they were able to do it because they had the Mon. We do have Mon. Harbei Shluchim Lamokom, Rashi says, we have Mon. Hashem gives us and He grants us. And that's really what everything is all about. To add one little piece to this, and that is, it does seem from the Mishnah Brura that there is a special inyan of reciting Parshas Hamon every day. Because we all need chizuk in this. You know, one of the critical factors about building bitochon, and that's why I call it the bitochon builder, it's a process about building bitochon, is that it's an ongoing effort. If we disengage for a day, then we tend to weaken, because we haven't refocused it again. It needs constant fine-tuning and refocusing and strengthening and deepening and penetrating, because it's an ongoing process. It changes according to the situation, according to the time, according to the mood, according to the difficulty of the circumstances surrounding us. And it's a constant battle. It's a constant avoido. It's a constant effort to try to maintain and to increase and to deepen that bitochon. But that's really what we have to be engaged in, because if we're not engaged in that process, then even if we have it occasionally, but it dissipates very quickly. And now that we've discussed this, I think it's important to refer to something that we refer to from time to time, but it's something that is critical, not to allow or not to encourage people to make any mistakes. And that is as follows. Bitochen is not about pressing a button. There is no bitochen switch within the human being. There isn't a quick fix. There isn't a button that you can press and, oh, I have bitochen. And there isn't a speech that one could say, I am a Baal Bitochen. I trust in Hashem. He's going to take care of everything. I'm going to have my parnos. I'm going to have whatever I need. I have that trust. It isn't about that. Halevai that it would be so simple. It's a process. It's an ongoing process. It's an ever-deepening process. It's a lifelong process. But to the degree to which I deepen and strengthen and crystallize and realize and make it real, that bitochen, it's to that degree that I am entitled, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds and takes care of me and responds to my desires and my efforts. And just to make this a little bit more graphic, in a way that clearly underscores this, is the famous story that's told about a Jew who comes to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and he asks Rabbi Yisrael, he says, I'm in the need of $10,000, 10,000 ruble, whatever, and he says, and I don't know what to do, I have no place to turn, what should I do? And Rabbi Yisrael says, I have an etza for you, buy a lottery ticket and have bitochen. Have bitochen, you buy a lottery ticket, have bitochen that you're going to win. But bitochen means to be sure. Focus, that sureness, that conviction, that absolute sense of security. I will not be disappointed. I'm counting, I'm trusting, I'm hoping without any hesitation and relying that he's going to grant me this victory. And he says, you do that and you'll win. This individual does so, or at least he believes he did so for a number of months, and I guess it was a ticket that could be ongoing. You could win at any time, and nothing doing. He doesn't win. After a while, he's very upset. He comes back to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and he says, stuff doesn't work. He says, I had bitochen and I was going to win. I haven't won. Rabbi Yisrael says, do you have bitochen? He says, yeah. Are you sure? Yes. You're going to win the $10,000? Yes, I still have real bitochen. And Rabbi Yisrael asks him, he says, will you sell me this winning ticket for half price, for $5,000? And he says, certainly. And Rabbi Yisrael, of course, points out to him and says, you don't have real bitochen. You're fooling yourself. Because had you been 100% confident that this ticket, in fact, is going to bring you the 10,000 ruble that you need, you'd never sell it to me for a penny less. And the fact that you were willing to sell it is an indicator that the bitochen was lip serviced, that the bitochen was an effort, was an attempt, but wasn't real. It didn't emanate from the heart. It didn't emanate from real conviction. It hadn't penetrated to the ultimate reality of what your feelings are. And I think that this is a very important point to keep in mind. That we shouldn't fool ourselves. We can't allow ourselves to be fooled. One who puts his trust in Hashem, his trust will not be disappointed. The Meiri says, "Habitech b'Hashem ein toicheles shaloi nichzavo." One who puts his trust in Hashem, his hope will not be disappointed. But it has to be trust. It has to be real. To the degree that it's real, it's to that degree that it's effective. But if it's lip service, if it's words, if it's something that we would give up so easily as to settle for half, then it isn't real bitochen and it doesn't have that power. Now, we certainly don't achieve the bitochen of the great giants of all the previous generations, but each one, according to his level, with the ultimate reality that he or she is able to muster, it's that level of bitochen which can make the difference in our lives. So I think these are some of the ideas that are relevant to this inyan of bitochen, and this parsha of the mon. The mon can certainly serve as a deep inspiration. It may be a skula. The Mishnah Berurah does say it should be said every day, but the nature of this skula is not just that it's a mystical thing, but it's a practical thing as well, because studying the Parshas HaMon can actually crystallize the idea that we live on Mon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains us through the Mon, through many natural circumstances, and it can strengthen that confidence and that trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think we will continue the Chavis HaLavovis, finishing hopefully Perek Gimel in the Shana Bitochem, or at least coming close to it next time.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.